that time of year again. It's everybody.
Nothing's happening.
Well, that's not true. That's absolutely not true whatsoever. Because I just got done putting $100 worth of free bets on NHL playoff hockey.
Okay, other sports, yes.
Yeah, for other sports. Yeah, no, definitely not football. No, football's got nothing. No, we got zip zero nada, NFL-wise at least.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the USFL is alive and kicking.
Yeah.
Personally, I haven't been as involved as I planned on being. I don't know why. I don't know. I just haven't gone back, like, since week one.
Right.
Maybe it's because my maulers suck.
That is a possibility.
It might just, like, really just... I got really no... My team just... They're 0-3. And this last week's loss was a shutout, which is now the first shutout in USFL. Well,
right.
You know, the new league's first one ever. So, you know, depression is kind of like an all-time high there for the USFL for me. Are the Gamblers kicking? 2-1, maybe?
I'm hoping they're 2-1. I don't know. I'm looking right now.
I knew they were 1-1. I really didn't check any of the USFL scores. I have no idea what happened this past
year. I'm looking right now. Da-da-da-da.
And speaking of the USFL, the NFL draft is now completed.
Yeah.
So we're going to review that tonight for those wondering what we're actually going to be talking about tonight, a little off-season news, and then we'll get right into the draft and talk about all that. So if you got hot takes and you want to get involved in the show, just drop them in the comments, and we'll be sure to get to any hot take or any opinion about the NFL draft. Just drop it on in there.
I was going to say, before we get too far, it is our number one fan's birthday today.
I didn't even pull like a video for that.
Okay, I'm just saying it's his
birthday. I was not prepared. Well, I mean, I think the main reason
I saw that he was watching, and I was like, when I was getting ready to share the stream, I was like, oh, we should bring that up on the show. It was kind of a last minute thing.
Oh man, if I would have known, he would have been watching. I had no expectation that he'd be watching today. I like good old Danny boy hasn't made an appearance on the show in a hot minute.
I know. It's been
a while.
We're going
to need to change that.
Right, I know. We need to get his take on the 49ers and see why they haven't gotten rid of Jimmy G yet.
You know, I mean, they just drafted Brock Purdy.
I know. They're all set.
I mean, they're done. Who even needs Trey Lance at this point? Yeah, right. Just get him out of here. Mm-hmm. Just free up all that cap space, all those roster spots. You got Brock Purdy. You're going to the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
Wasn't last year? That's something we're going to do some point in the show. Is look up the last couple of Mr. Irrelevance, and just kind of get some names and see if anyone else, like, see if anyone's really mattered here in the past couple of drafts.
Because last one I remember would have been the kicker.
That's right, the kicker. I was thinking it was wasn't it Jim Kelly's kid was Mr. Irrelevant too?
Oh, Chad Kelly?
Yeah.
He might have been.
I'm pretty sure he was. Because he was supposed to go higher in the draft, and then he had some off-the-field issues that basically dropped him all the way to the end.
Yeah.
But, yes, we do want to wish Danny Boy, the loyal, loyal 49ers hater and fan, a happy, happy birthday.
Absolutely. It is your birthday.
Everybody, I want everybody to go to Twitter. And for Danny Boy's birthday present, I want everybody to tweet at the 49ers. And
there you go.
And tell them to get rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. On behalf of Danny's birthday. That's priority. That's going to be our present to you, Dan.
There we go.
We're going to get the OOTF army on this. All five of us. Well, let's get this show really kind of kicking and grinding and moving here. The award-winning podcast, this is On and Off the Field with Durf and Dylan, brought to you by All Sports, All Plays Network, ASAP, and the PartyCast Network, where the party never stops, never ends. There's not really an official slogan. Like, I think I just threw that in there for kicks and giggles. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. For those listening right now at this very moment, need to stop and floss. Just stop, drop, and roll. Floss this segment, brought to you obviously by the one and only Stefon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
Just look at that man. And then I forgot to write this guy's name down. I don't remember what his name was. Kayvon Williams? No, that's not.
No.
I'm already thinking about the draft.
Yeah, I can't remember what his name was. I don't think I wrote down either.
Yeah, and I'll get on that next week. But he flosses too. Follow, like, observe, subscribe, and share anything on Off the Field related. Recommended by 10 out of 10 podcasters everywhere. Durf, how can they floss?
Well, they can follow on TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, all by searching at OOTF Podcast. You can like by hitting that thumbs up, leaving a heart reaction, or just telling us how you like the show by leaving a review on any of our pages or on the Mothership Apple Podcasts. You can observe by watching live every week at this time from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. You can subscribe by clicking those subscribe buttons on Twitch and YouTube and making sure to ring the bell so you get notified when we go live. And last but not least, make sure you share by letting your friends and family know about us by sharing out the stream or any posts you like.
I mean, flossing's not hard. And I'm going to, just like last week, we threw up, make sure we wish Durf a happy birthday. Now we got to throw up the old wish Danny Boy a happy birthday. We'll leave that up there.
There you go.
Except, like, my name tag here is hiding my horrible blue screen. maybe I'll leave this up. I don't know. That's going to bother me if I leave that there. So I'm riding the struggle bus with this screen lately. I don't know why. I've never had issues, and then I reorganized my room, and now it doesn't work, so it's not great.
Oh, no.
You know, stuff happens. Technical difficulties and whatnot. So we got some football to talk about. I mean,
yeah, we do.
It's kind of dead right now. The draft's over. We're all just kind of sitting in limbo now as people sign contracts. Free agency's pretty much underway, but it was an extremely quiet start to free agency. Really, the only thing that happened was Tyrann Mathieu signing his three-year, $33 million contract with the Saints. So he finally found a home. Good for him. Because the Saints got out of the draft somehow, not even one safety.
They didn't find any of them. None of them were worthy. That's why.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yep. Yep. They went through their whole draft board and they were like, you know what? Nah, these safeties suck. We're just going to go and get Tyron. Somebody who's had an injury history. He's getting a little bit older. So we're definitely not going to get someone younger to build depth. Definitely not. No, definitely not.
No.
This is a secondary that has been getting torched lately. And their solution was just, let's go get the honey badger and call it a day. That'll fix all of our problems. We haven't quite discussed how we'll tackle the entire draft yet. This one's going to be more focused on the first round, Bills, Seahawks, just overall hot takes, things that went well, things that went bad. We might go over some, other teams eventually, but so I'm not going to look up right now if the Saints drafted a corner, but I sure as shit hope they did. I feel like they had to, right? There's no way they got out of the draft without a corner. Now I got to look it up. See, I say things like this.
I can't remember if they did or not.
Let's find out. How do you find that out? What do we got? The NFL draft. So there we go.
If you go to
teams.
Yep.
Where's the Saints? There they are. They got Chris Olave, of course. And then Trevor Penning, offensive lineman. They did get Alante Taylor out of Tennessee, cornerback. In the second round, 17th pick in the second round.
Well, it's that is a corner, and yeah. Tyrann Mathieu is a safety, so they did get some secondary help.
And they only had 5 picks this year. They drafted an inside linebacker in the 5th round and then a defensive tackle out of Air Force in the 6th round. And they their linebackers from Appalachian State. Oh, boy. We did some reaching State. From schools in this draft. Holy cow. If you're reaching from Appalachian State and Air Force, oh, boy. Uh-oh.
Like, I thought Air Force, like, they have to go serve after they graduate. So, like, technically he's not, like, available to them, right?
I think you have to get like a waiver. I think it depends on your, because this is what happened with the quarterback, because he originally wasn't going to be able to play in the NFL because of his MOS, like his position was too important.
Right.
So, and then like this dude went on, like, I don't know how he was allowed to do this. I don't think he was allowed, obviously, but he went on this media campaign. And, like, was talking shit about the Navy. Like, oh, I've seen other people, you know, get waivers from their positions that are much more important than mine and play in the league. Like, he was talking crap about the Navy because they didn't allow him to play in the NFL because he was too important to the Navy. Holy cow, bud. That's a pretty bold move, if you ask me. So maybe he'll be able to play. Maybe he won't for the Saints. Whiskey's right in here. Jets Super Bowl champs 2028. Like, I don't know, man.
It's hopeful.
It
might not be out of the realm.
I mean,
the Bills get a couple, so
if Zach Wilson really does develop, or maybe they wait till next year, get another new quarterback. Maybe a new quarterback is in their future. But they're building a good defense. Mm-hmm. They got the pieces, they're thinking about offense, and he comes in here and says they won the draft. I mean, winning drafts doesn't guarantee you anything, but it's definitely a step in the right direction that their front office has finally kind of changed gears, that, you know, they actually might actually have some good people up there. To go over who they got real quick, 4th overall, they got Sauce Gardner, the sauciest boy of all, because apparently, like, I think, in my opinion, real quick, the easiest losers of this draft was the Texans. How do you go 3rd overall and you go with Derek Stingley 3rd overall? I mean,
yeah,
Texans are still Texasing. like, oh my God. Like, there's no way Stingley is going to be better than Gardner, especially coming off of an injury.
Right.
And then they got Garrett Wilson at 10 overall because Drake London was the first wide receiver off the board.
Yeah.
The Falcons.
The Falcons, yep.
So Garrett Wilson fell to 10 because Seahawks smack in the middle of their go offensive line. And then the Jets have the balls to trade back into the first round. And they get this guy who just kept dropping and dropping. And no one knew why.
Right.
No one can understand how Jermaine Johnson fell to 26.
Yeah, no clue.
So now you have your blue chip player on the defensive line. Mm-hmm. You got your blue chip corner, and you got your wide receiver 1. I mean, I don't know how other. I mean, I put a poll on Twitter after the first round and kind of gave my, you know, day one winners, like, who do you pick? I put up the Giants because the Giants just, they didn't have to work hard. They just had to not be stupid. And the Giants weren't stupid. They took Kayvon Thibodeau at 5 and they took Evan Neal offensive line at 7.
Right.
They were just not stupid. They picked the right people. So, yeah, they get a pass for day one. They sucked the rest of the draft as far as I'm concerned. But overall, they did good.
Yeah.
And I put the Eagles strictly because, you know, they Jordan Davis was a great pick at 13. And then they also obviously got the A.J. Brown trade. So they add a top 5 wide receiver in the league right now to their offense. So they get a great player on defense. They get a great player. I just consider that like a second first round pick in A.J. Brown. Then I think I put then obviously the Jets. And then I don't remember what the 4th option was that I put. Maybe it was the Jags. because they also traded back in and they got Devin Lloyd.
Right.
So I might have put the Jags too. But the overwhelming consensus was the Jets obviously won the first round.
Right.
The Texans got Kayon Green, fourth-year starter, played all positions on the offensive line, but also the most penalized offensive lineman in the draft. That sounds like a kid that would go to Seattle.
Sounds like Houston doing Houston things.
So they get a possibly injured corner at and three Kenyon instead Green, of taking the guarantee guy, and then they go and get the most penalized offensive lineman in the draft. Solid. Off to a great start, Texans. Not the Eagles. I thought the Eagles had a good draft, man. At least first round. Yeah. Like if you walk away with a great, you walk away with a great defensive tackle that's going to be able to learn from Fletcher Cox and basically just fill in that spot after you get rid of him next year. I mean, that's a great pick. I don't think it was, maybe it was the second round. They got the other Georgia Bulldog that's going to be reuniting with Davis, the linebacker. I'm not going to know his name.
I'm trying to think it. No, because Quay Walker went to Packers. So did they get N'Kobe Dean?
Yes, it was Dean.
No, okay.
So they got both of the Georgia Bulldogs reuniting in Philly. I just want to I'll just double check. Yeah, N'Kobe Dean in the third round, N'Kobe Dean.
Yeah, he was falling hard.
Yeah.
Like, I had him in the first round.
Yeah, overall rank was 19.
Right.
How did he fall to the third round? Jesus.
Yeah.
They got a great center in Cameron Jurgens in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
Kayron Johnson. They got another linebacker. They got two linebackers, which is desperately what they need. And they go tight end.
There you go.
SMU. They had a great draft. They filled some needs. They got A.J. Brown for their wide receiver need. They ignored their secondary, which is a little concerning.
Yeah.
You still have Darius Slay back there, but you lost Jalen Mills. A little concerning that they ignored their secondary. So we'll see what happens with that. I refuse to accept anything good the Eagles do. Fair enough. Anyone know where Brandon Smith went? Let's find out.
I looked him up, and he went somewhere weird. Not weird, but...
Did he go to the NFL? He's with the Maulers now.
No, he was drafted, I want to say,
Carolina round. Panthers.
Yeah, Carolina.
What round?
I thought it was fifth.
120th overall pick. So maybe the fifth, somewhere like round four, pick 120.
Round four, okay.
So there you go. Not a Cowboy. Sorry. No. Sorry, Whiskey. That was your take last week, but sorry, man. So that's a lot of draft talk. Because Whiskey came over here and got us off course. That's fine. That's fine. That's completely fine.
It's what we do.
It's what we do. He was in the Mick mock draft to go to Dallas. Who's Mick? I don't know who Mick is. Is that like some Dallas guy? It's probably some like Dallas radio personality. So the bigger piece of offseason news that we have is DeAndre Hopkins. He got suspended for the first six games of this upcoming season due to a positive, what do you want to call it?
So he tested positive for performance-enhancing drugs.
Performance-enhancing.
Violating their policy.
He appealed, and I feel like this was the fastest an appeal has been shot down I've ever seen.
Right.
It's like the news broke, he got suspended, and then he's just like, I'm appealing. And then, like, the tweet came out 5 minutes later that they're like, no. It's like, absolutely not.
So I thought he had appealed a while back, and then the suspension became official when the appeal was denied.
Is that how that works?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I just remember seeing the tweets come through, like, all right, he's been suspended. And then someone tweeted out that he's appealing. And then they tweet out like the same day, like maybe an hour later, that it's been denied. Like usually you think if they appeal, you know, they will give you like a day. We'll see what you have to say. And they're just like, no. And then, no, we're 100% positive about this.
Mm-hmm.
He produced a positive test result in November 2021 for a prohibited substance plus a masking agent slash attempt to substitute, dilute, or adulterate a specimen attempt to manipulate a test result. Did I say all those words right? I feel like I did pretty good.
Substitute, yeah.
I did skip one word.
You did skip diuretic. So.
Yeah, I would not have pronounced it like that. I probably do retic is probably what I would have said. Diuretic. That's what that looks like.
Yeah, that's diuretic.
What does that mean? Is that just another word for a masking agent?
Basically diuretic is to want to flush your system.
Ah, okay. So it's not like Blue Mountain State. These guys were peeing through fake penises with like bags filled with fake pee. Right. Yeah. DeAndre Hopkins was trying to pull that off and they were just like, not today, bud.
I mean, he was hurt around that time too. So I feel like that probably has something to do with it, which I think is why his whole statement today about like being shocked and confused about the positive because of trace elements. Yeah, because you were masking it, so that's why it's only traced.
I don't think they really cared too much about, like, if they actually found anything that you were taking, like, during your regimen of healing or whatever. They were more concerned about the fact that they found the masking agent. That means that means you're trying to hide something, and that something could be anything. Yeah. That's the bigger issue.
Yep.
As stated here, obviously, because if you just like, if they test positive for a banned substance, you know, and it's something that's not serious, like, you know, we know you're not popping steroids or something crazy.
Right.
It's just something for your healing regimen. Maybe your appeal, you have a better chance. But if it's a masking agent and they don't know what you're trying to hide. Yeah. No shot.
Right.
No shot. So he'll be sitting out the first six games and now we have to. We have to ask the question. And I feel like we already know the answer, but I have my own opinion on this.
All right.
Did the Texans win this trade?
Yes.
Like, 'cause DeAndre hasn't been hurt. I don't believe this is his first suspension. He has not played a lot of games in Arizona. Let's put it that way. I don't remember how this dude has played. I think I saw the post today. And he hasn't even played like a full season's worth of games since he's been in Arizona.
Right.
The Texans did not get a lot in return. So, you know, this is where my opinion comes in. I just feel like both teams lost. Like, no one gained anything from this trade.
Right.
Like, DeAndre Hopkins, Kyler Murray connection has just, it cannot pick up any steam because he's either suspended or hurt. Even when they're on the field, you know, they're just missing each other constantly. And then the Texans just, I feel like they didn't get enough out of the trade in the first place to make this worth it from the start. Because they got a running back and like a third round pick. So unless they got Davis Mills with that third round pick, even then, I mean, I just feel like no one won this trade at the end of the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how I feel. Like, you swapped some players and no one's benefiting from the result.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's just more, I think it's funny that it's six games and not 6 weeks. So when the schedule comes out next week and they have a better bye week in like week five, that pushes out his sixth game until week seven, making it week eight till he comes back.
Is that like a new thing?
No, I think.
Or is this like specific? They did this on purpose, like the wording. Bye week doesn't count.
Right.
Do some other suspensions that they do, the bye week counts? I've never really paid attention to that.
I don't think so. I don't think we've seen like the six plus game suspension. It's usually been four or two or.
Yeah. So he could potentially be out for 7 weeks.
Yep.
Interesting. I never really thought about it that way. I just see the number. I'm just like, he's gone for 6 weeks. You never really think about the bye week as a week that might impact that suspension. But yeah, Cardinal, and this is just the greatest thing. He's suspended for the first six games. Christian Kirk is gone.
Yep.
I'm curious if the Cardinals knew he was going to be suspended. Dirt bike's going down my road.
Oh, I heard something.
Yeah. If they knew he was getting suspended, then that's why they made the trade for Marquise Brown. Like, they, we needed to get somebody in house with some relevant experience.
They need someone with experience and someone to put up with baby Kyler Murray. Oh my
gosh. I can't believe they like really put up with it this offseason that Murray's still gonna be. I thought he was gonna be traded. I really thought they were just gonna be like, nah, this ain't worth it.
Should have shipped him to the Lions.
Yep. He could have got Jared Goff back and brought him back to the NFC West. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
So the Cardinals are in trouble. That's basically that. The NFL announced on Tuesday the hiring of 10 new on-field game officials for the 2022 NFL season.
Maybe they didn't get some calls right.
Any big names in that crew? Like any big name college officials?
Let's see. There was Jerome Bogerson on the list that I saw. There was the first Asian American and the third female official.
So really now building up the numbers for the females in the league for officiating, not just like the one. Got a few now. Okay. So yeah, get some new eyes. You know, so maybe hopefully a younger crew as well.
Right.
Try and cycle out these boomers and get some. Maybe this will bring upon some new technology as well.
There you go.
I mean, that's what we really need. I just want the first down technology from the USFL and the NFL. That's all I want. I don't care about anything else really at this point. If you just want to start somewhere, let's just start with that. Just give it a try. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Like, how does this impact the game at all if you just have better first down technology? Because no one can argue it. That's my main thing. Is like anyone can sit there and be like, oh, I don't know if that's where the ball exactly landed. And now you're talking about it for 20 minutes. You have technology. It's like, this is where the ball was. It's like, okay, well, I guess that's where it was. Like, what are you going to say? That's my main thing.
Yeah.
That's really it for off-season news, though.
Yeah.
It's been quiet, you know. It's that time of year. The Panthers actually, whoever the Panthers signed today, that's the first draft pick that is signing their deal.
Yeah, it was like a 6th round pick, I think.
Yeah. Apparently the dude just walked in and was just like, I don't care what you're paying me. Just give me the money. Let's go.
That's a team player right there.
He's like, I'm just ready to go to work. Whatever contract you have written up. Yep. I like it. Let's go. So let's talk about the draft a little bit.
All right.
I got some pointers here that I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
First and foremost, the University of Texas. Whiskey Pro, he's from Texas. I don't know if he's a Longhorn fan or not, but the University of Texas, the Longhorns, out of 262 college football players that were taken in the NFL draft in the year 2022, zero of them were from the University of Texas. How the mighty have fallen.
Oh, yeah.
Whoever is running that school down there right now. Mm-hmm. Because I saw another statistic up there that was over the past couple of years, they went from the number 4 recruiting class, then they like had a repeat year of number 4, then they dropped to number 8. And then they dropped to like double digits. And now they have no players being drafted. This used to be a school that people respected.
Right.
You had top recruiting classes there every year. Like you can't even say just top 5, like top 3 recruiting classes way back in the day. But it's just been getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't know if that's because of like coaching, administrative issues, if they just don't have enough if they don't have enough boosters to pay these kids. I don't know what the issue is down there, but who?
I mean, I know they have a new relatively newer coach. But it must be just, I don't know if they finished in the Big 12 this year, but I would assume that not very well, and that's probably why no one looked at them for any draft prospects.
Yeah, I kind of want
to. I'm sure there'll probably be some undrafted free agent signings out of that school, but
they've already started posting 2022 stuff. Where's my Longhorns at? Were they in the Big 12? There they are. They finished 3-6 in conference, 5-7 overall this year. Oof. Yeah, not good. They didn't do great this year. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Poor guys. Oh well. You know, things happen.
Yeah, sometimes this is not your year.
Yeah, they'll turn it around eventually. They're the Longhorns, you know, horns up, baby. we already mentioned that Mr. Irrelevant this year was in fact QB Brock Purdy, selected by the 49ers. Happy birthday, Danny boy. Mm-hmm. Mr. Irrelevant NFL. Let's see if we got a wiki page on this. Yes, we do. Let's see. Let's take a look at the last few.
All right.
We got Brock Purdy. Last mm-hmm. year, we had Grant Stewart, linebacker out of Houston. I have no idea who that is. Linebacker Tay Crowder, taken by the Giants out of Georgia the year prior, 2022 or 2020. Tay Crowder kind of sounds familiar for some reason. He's still kicking around? I don't know why that name rings a bell. I don't know.
I'm not sure on that one.
Caleb Wilson, tight end by the Cardinals in 2019, UCLA. Trey Quinn, taken by Washington, SMU, wide receiver. There's Chad Kelly, QB of Ole Miss. Yep. That was 2017 by the Broncos. Kalen Reed, Gerald Christian, Lonnie Ballantyne, Justice Cunningham. Oh, boy. Oh, there we go. Ryan Succop. 2009. Kicker out of South Carolina, and he went to the Chiefs.
Yep.
And now he's been a long-time Titan. Maybe the best ever Mr. Irrelevant? I'm trying to look through these names real quick since the draft's been around and these guys are just not ringing any bells.
Yeah.
Like, I'm kind of curious who the best ever was. Jim Finn, 1999. He went on to be a Super Bowl champion with the Giants.
Okay.
And then there's Ryan Succop. I think those are your top two.
Oh, I'm sure.
That's as good as it's gonna get. Chris Sims. Chris Sims with the ultimate sus tweet in the history of ever. Mm-hmm. This man decided to tweet out Damian Pierce. This kid is violent. He is a ball of muscle. And you know me. I love me some thighs and butt. And he's got thighs and butt for days.
Well, then. So when it comes,
I mean, tweets can be deleted, Chris.
Right.
But this podcast will not. This is like, you don't have to hit enter every time you type something out.
Yeah.
Like, you can just like, you can read it. And then be like, should I hit enter? And then when you type stuff like that, you just go, no, let's just start over. I would love to have Chris on the show. Like, I think that's like a top three goal for the podcast. I just want to have Chris on the show. It's like, do you do this stuff on purpose? Like, are your hot takes purposely stupid? Like, you're just trying to get attention. Like, you say this stuff because, like, you know, you didn't get enough attention as a kid. Like, is this what we're doing? Because mm-hmm. this is just stuff like this, man. I don't know how good of a player Damian Pierce is, mm-hmm. but if you look at that thighs and those butt, I mean, top tier talent, first rounder. Like, holy shit. Oh, I love this guy. Chris Sims, everybody. What's up, Mr. Rapid Dave? How's it going? It's going. We're playing who won and lost the draft.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Talking about the draft.
Yeah. Well, I'll get to my draft grades opinion here in a second because I talk about mm-hmm. it every year. But last but not least is probably my favorite tweet of the weekend related to the draft. This is just the most beautiful thing. You put this under the category of pictures taken moments before disaster. Kevin Byard. Or no, someone tweeted out, a Titans, you know, fan, just a random guy tweeted out.
Yeah.
We trade for Debo. That's what he's just he's predicting this is what they'll do.
Yeah.
Kevin Byard. What, safety or corner? For the Titans. He decides to reply to the tweet. Now, why would we do that? We already have our wide receiver one. Do you now? Do you now? I don't think. I think we might need to revisit that Debo trade there, Kevin. Once again, tweets can be deleted, but they are now forever enshrined on the podcast On and Off the Field. Oh, Rapid Dave eclipsed something. Eclipsed the thighs and ass. Man, those thighs and ass, man. Oh, God. I got to thank Chris Sims for that one. He got what he wanted. He got attention, and I gave it to him. You're welcome.
Yep.
So if you're ready.
All right.
We got draft stuff. First and foremost, what is your opinion on draft grades? How do you take it with a grain of salt? Do you think they're religious, or do you just think you don't take them at all and you just throw them in the trash and say goodbye?
I feel like I take them with a grain of salt, but I feel like it also depends on what it says. Like I feel like this year and last year I was like, oh, okay. I mean, everything I saw, I didn't think the Bills did bad, so I'm like, all right, I'll take it. Now other teams, I wouldn't fully believe those draft grades because of the things that they did. Like, they could be wrong. So I don't know. I look at them sometimes to see if I can find like the funny flunkers.
The funny flunkers, as in the Seattle's draft where they took Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson, and they gave that draft an F.
I heard about that one.
That's the forever enshrined historic draft grade.
There was another draft where was it 99? No, 96. Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis were drafted by the Ravens, and they gave him a C.
A C.
Saying that Ray Lewis was a project linebacker who could develop maybe develop into a pass rusher, and they didn't know where Jonathan Ogden would fit on the offensive line for the Ravens. They're both Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
So
didn't go well.
It worked out for him.
I mean, at least it was a C. I mean,
right.
I mean, that Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner draft, I mean, they gave him an F. They're just like, they did not need a Bobby Wagner kind of linebacker, you know, too small, whatever. You know, Russell Wilson. They just signed Matt Flynn for 5 years or whatever it was. They just signed Matt Flynn. Why do they need a Russell Wilson for?
I remember when Russell Wilson got signed. Russell Wilson, when Matt Flynn got signed.
Yeah, because the year prior was when he threw that 5-touchdown game.
Right. One game. Everyone was like, here's all the money.
Yeah, one game. Yeah. He had one good game. It's just like, here's the bag. Huge deal for Matt Flynn. He didn't even make the roster that year. Oh my God. What a great moment. But that's why ever since then, I pretty much just, I don't pay attention to draft grades whatsoever. I normally look at a person's criteria for their draft grade.
Right.
And their explanation.
Yep.
And I've come to the conclusion that pretty much nobody does it the way I would do it if I cared enough about the draft to make my own draft grades.
Right.
It's just all about addressing position needs. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
That's why we were talking about the Eagles a little bit earlier. You know, they got their wide receiver taken care of with A.J. Brown. It took care of linebacker. It took care of center. they didn't take care of their secondary. So, right. I mean, overall, I would probably give them like either like I would like a B, B minus.
Mm-hmm.
Because adding AJ Brown was huge. That's like an instant piece that you could you just boosted your offense enormously. But not touching your secondary at all, major concern, especially at safety with Jalen Mills gone. So so that's how I would do it.
Yeah,
that's all I really care about.
Mm-hmm.
Like everyone's tearing apart the Patriots, and it's the title of this episode. But you know, it's like tying up with Bill Belichick in a retirement home or whatever. But you know, they drafted something they needed. They lost pieces on their offensive line, and did they maybe reach for Cole Strange? I don't know. What if Cole Strange ends up being a freaking Hall of Fame offensive lineman? Like, could they have waited to the second round to draft him? Maybe. But what if someone else out there was just like, you know what? People are undervaluing Cole Strange. I'm going to go get him. Like, that could have happened, and then they don't get their guy. We don't know.
Right.
And that's my whole point of, like, these draft grades just are so stupid. You're tearing apart teams, and you're tearing apart these kids. Like, Cole Strange is hyped up right now, and then he's going to read all over the place that, oh, Patriots reach for this piece of shit offensive lineman who was maybe going to be a third rounder. What garbage, horrible pick. He's not going to amount to nothing. First round my ass. Like, he has to read that stuff.
Right.
You know, maybe it's like a chip on his shoulder kind of thing, whatever. Like,
could be.
But like overall, I feel like just like it hurts your mentality a little bit. Like, oh my God, you got to sit through getting beat up by the media.
Yeah, I mean, Patriots. I mean, just talk about the pick real quick. Like, I thought they reached all very, like, they reached very far for that pick. It seemed like there had been other guards that were available, but if that's who Bill Belichick had ranked there, and they move back in the first round and make it a less obnoxious pick, then I mean, I get it
because they did move back, didn't they? They did. They got extra picks for it.
Right.
It's not like they got him at 21 where they were supposed to pick originally.
Right. They got him at what, 29?
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't like the pick even if it wasn't a reach, because I saw that from the tape that I saw just from the draft selection, it he didn't look great. But that's Bill Belichick doing his division, his small school thing, and it's like, why would you not try to get that later? But he really must have thought it wasn't going to be there,
right? And that's my other thing is just hey, what's up, Mr. Busby? Yeah, we just got done saying nice things about your Eagles, just barely missed it. They had a good draft, bud. I'm curious what your opinions are about your secondary, though, because they didn't draft their secondary whatsoever. So I'm kind of curious what you think there. I get it. And I realize probably the biggest thing that would knock that pick is maybe they could have waited until the second round, even just the second round. Just wait till late second. I'm sure he would have been there. But what if they knew something we didn't? That's what if possible. They got a phone call about Cole Strange? Like, they're asking around. They're like, hey, where do you have him ranked? We don't know.
Right. I mean, we all know how the Rams thought about it.
Right. Well, yeah, we at least know one team's opinion on Cole Strange. But, you know, if he ends up being a Hall of Fame guard, everyone's going to be like, wow, there goes Bill Belichick again doing Bill stuff. You know, like that's like he knew. But we didn't.
Right.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that makes me kind of just draft grades. Just, I don't know. It's not that important to me. That's all. So now that we got that out of the way, our yearly discussion about draft grades, because I just have to say, I have to get through that every year. First, I guess we got to talk about how your mock draft went. Did we say over under? Did we ever come out with how much you'd like to get right?
Yeah, I said 7.
7?
Yeah.
And this is kind of shocking. I thought you got more than this.
No.
That's kind of depressing. Only 4?
Yeah.
Ugh. Like, even the, like same the... spots? Like.
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
So I got four. Obviously, I got the first two right.
Yep.
Taking Trayvon Walker and then Aiden Hutchinson.
You knew Jacksonville was going to do Jacksonville stuff.
Yep. And then I had the Saints picking Chris Olave and Trevor Penning at 16 and 19. What do? Take them at other round, other spots. And like, they were in there in my mock draft. Like, you had the ability to get them there, and they took them earlier. It's like, why?
So you're not counting those, even though they still got them, or did you count? No,
I did count those.
Okay, good.
So I still had the correct player going to that team in the first round.
Yeah, because we at least if you get the player right, that's really all that matters. Because right. If they get the trade up, trade back to get them, like, you know, that's impossible to predict that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I think never would have thought they would have taken Drake London instead of Garrett Wilson. At eight. That was shocking.
Yeah, I had seen it just a tiny little bit in some mock drafts that I was compiling, but yeah, I really would have thought he would have been that late, that early teens pickup, but.
Yeah. Especially coming off the injury. Didn't he have a little we were Googling about Drake London. He had a little snafu with the ankle, I thought.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Thought that might have taken him down a peg or two, but apparently not. First wide receiver off the board, top 10 pick. Garrett Wilson then got snagged up by the Jets. We talked about that.
Yeah.
What else did we get right here?
I mean, I had Seattle's pick right. In my first mock draft.
In 1.0.
And I changed it. And I'm like, oh, man.
See, maybe doing multiple mock drafts isn't a good idea. Like, just come out with one and then just stick with it.
Well, I was trying to get as many sources as possible and trying to figure out my most common pick players. But, yeah, that was
You didn't predict Houston going.
I didn't think. I really thought Houston to go lineman, and they went – no, we're going to go injured corner instead.
Yikes.
I figured that would have been Seattle's, you know, up Seattle's sleeve there to go injured player.
Right, yeah, I clipped that one. Threw that on the old social media. Because you think they want to keep Davis Mills up, but they go Stingley.
Yeah.
And they ended up trading. They still ended up trading or sending one of their other corner to the Chiefs. That just happened today as well. I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Houston got their new corner, and they're like, all right, instead of just building depth, let's just send the old one off to another team. Like, that's not how this works.
Right.
You're supposed to build depth. That's how you're supposed to do it. What's up, Gnome? Mr. Horny, how you doing today? Howdy, howdy, howdy. How'd your draft go? How did everybody's draft go? Cincinnati, Eagles. Is Horny a Cowboys fan?
I don't know.
We already talked to Whiskey Pro earlier. He's a Jets fan. He had a big day, big weekend for him. What else do we have going on? Anything else fun? I got to pull up my phone now that we're out of like the top 10. Yep. Icky offensive lineman went to the Panthers. They passed on QB.
Yeah. Kenny Pickett was the only quarterback in the first round. I was really surprised at how far Malik Willis fell too. That was something.
I think the only reason we're surprised though, Chiefs. That's right. I knew it was Chiefs. For some reason I forgot. I could not think of your team. Yeah, Chiefs. Obviously Chiefs. People said the Chiefs had a good draft too. They got Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis, so they built their younger defense up, which is exactly what we expected them to do. They did well as they did. They had a good draft. I'd say overall probably like A or A-, I think. I had to look at the other picks, but at least in the first round they did great. Now I forgot we were talking about Kenny Pickett, right? in the QBs. Yeah, I was just about to say, I think the reason we're shocked how far Malik Willis fell is because we all assumed that we the people knew that this was a weak quarterback draft.
Yep.
We knew these kids were like sketchy, but we're used to the NFL just reaching for him anyways.
Yep.
Like, well, this is the best quarterback in this draft. And even though like overall, he's probably not that good. We need a quarterback. So let's just get him in the first round. Let's just reach for him.
Right.
they finally sat back. These teams finally took a step back and they're like, there are better players in this draft. We do not need a quarterback right now. Mm-hmm. We know that we can wait on these kids. Yep. And the league as a whole decided these guys are not worth first, even second round picks. Some of these kids made it to the fourth round.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
I think it wasn't Matt Corral or something, like a sixth rounder.
I thought he was fifth or sixth.
I mean, these quarterbacks. But he ended up
going to the Panthers, yeah.
Dropped way down.
Right.
So I think that was surprising for everyone, was just the fact that these quarterbacks just were not, they weren't valued, which is what we agreed with. And for the first time in forever, the league agreed that, yeah, these guys should not be overvalued.
Right.
Let's see here. Will Bill Belichick turn a third rounder that was drafted in the first round into a Pro Bowler? Makes you think he's losing his mind, but Bill B does Bill B things. Yeah, we were just talking about that before he got in here. Because we were talking about draft grades, and everyone says, you know, obviously he reached, and Durf thinks he reached as well, which is fair. I think, you know, did he reach? Yeah, probably. And only because it seems like everyone else was valuing him as a third-round pick. As far as we know, maybe Bill knew somebody else was valuing him as like an early second rounder. That's why he had to get him now.
Yeah.
I still think they did an okay job trading back in the first round and got him a different pick. So they built up a little bit of extra draft capital. But, you know, this is something that we're not going to know right away. If in, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 years, this Cole Strange turns into a freaking beast, you know, turns into a Pro Bowler, all pro, then, yeah, Bill Belichick will look like a genius in knowing something that no one else knew.
Right.
But, you know, that's not something we're going to know for a little while.
Right.
How many teams been burned like that? Burned like how? I forgot. By overvaluing quarterbacks?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that you can look at any draft. I mean, shit, all we had to do is go back to like last year or 2 years ago.
Right.
You know, Baker Mayfield, the whole Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota debate. Like, they went 1-2, and now, both fought their way back to starting spots, but basically only because the teams are desperate.
Right.
It happens every year, except this year. They finally learned their lesson.
Yeah.
I don't see him doing shit. Cole Strange or...
I think you're talking about Cole Strange, yeah.
Oh, okay. I don't know. We're not going to know. Brady wasn't picked early, but he came up under an okay QB.
Under Bledsoe, yeah.
Yeah, I don't... Was it Bledsoe or was it just Tom Brady was just...
I mean...
Like, he was just gifted. Like, he was meant to do
that. Yeah.
So.
I think being second string to Bledsoe helped him develop, though.
Yeah, I think at least got his feet wet for a year. Before he had to step in. And then obviously John Suggs comes in with the clutch. The clutch example of overvaluing quarterbacks. Jordan Love to Green Bay in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
That's your ultimate example right there. And just to round out the first round here, what are some of our bigger picks? The Titans replaced A.J. Brown with Treylon Burks. Tyler Smith ended up going to the Cowboys. They absolutely choked because they could have got who's the other kid that we always talked about? Duke? Not Duke. The other offensive lineman that you really liked that could play multiple positions.
Oh, Zion Johnson.
Yeah, that's who they should have taken.
I'd say he went earlier, though.
Did he?
Yeah, he went mid-teens. I forget who he went to, though.
Oh, he went to the Chargers. That's right. Ooh, the Chargers. That was a great pick. I forgot about that one. Great pick. The Chargers, man. I just love what the Chargers are doing. I just hope they don't choke again. Tyler Linderbaum to the Ravens. Great pick. Devin Lloyd, linebacker for the Jags. Oh, that was an okay pick, I guess.
Yeah.
George Karloftis. We already talked about him for the Chiefs. Great pick. Daxton Hill, safety for the Bengals. I'm guessing if at least Eli Apple let someone buy him, they got a decent, they got a good safety now.
Right.
And then, let's talk about our teams.
All right.
after, let's just get, I think it makes a difference when your first year or two under a veteran QB makes them better in the long run, 100%.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Definitely agree. And what about that Washington pick? Who'd they pick?
Jahan Dotson.
They got more things to, they got other things to worry about in the front office these days. I'm sure they just like, all right, right. They probably looked at the board or like, oh, it's our turn. Who's the, that, sure. Yep. Just write that name on and get out of here. Right?
I mean, I think the problem was they were in the, it was in the middle of a wide receiver run.
So they were just kind of forced to grab somebody.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think he's going to be a good player for him. I think him and Terry McLaurin, I think they're going to be a good 1-2 receiver combo.
And they got Carson Wentz throwing the ball. He'll be fine.
Well, Dotson has some pretty good range. So if Carson just throws it too high or something, Dotson should be able to get it.
Yeah, they should have went O-line, apparently.
That would have probably been pretty good to help Carson Wentz stay up.
And that was right before the Chargers went Zion.
Yep.
Unfortunate. Well, they got, yeah, you got weapons. As long as Carson Wentz doesn't die, they should be okay. So let's talk about our Seahawks and Bills. I don't know how you want to do this. You just want to talk about your Bills? Let's see how you feel about who your guys has picked. Let's do it.
All right.
Just go for your Bills. Who do you got? Do you like it? Do you have a grade? Yeah, your draft grade for your Bills.
You want a draft grade? I'll give them an A minus.
Oh, A minus. Okay. All
right. I like it. I wish I would have seen a little another tackle or guard earlier in the round than six. I like the punt god pick in round six there.
Can we talk about that?
Come on, the dude punts 80-yard punts.
But his accuracy fucking blows.
That's okay. He's better than Matt Hawk.
He was like 47% last year, putting it inside the 20 when they were like outside the 40. Like the opponent's 40 in their punt. Like he was like 40. He was like under 50% putting it inside the 20. I mean, yeah, you can change the field. You can change field position. If you go three and out on your own 10. Yeah, this guy's going to bail you out. It's going to be great.
Right.
But, like, if you're trying to pin guys inside the 5, inside the 10, this dude ain't it. Maybe he'll learn. I don't
know. Maybe. He's been doing a lot of training this winter and spring before the draft to work on, ball handling skills for, holding the ball to the place kicker and a couple other things. But, yeah.
I mean, he's definitely showed his ability to get better.
Right.
Just look, because I was just, everyone was freaking out over this guy getting drafted, the punt god. I had to learn about him a little bit. Because before his punt god year, he wasn't even a starter the year before. He sucked all around. He was a horrible punter. Yep. And he just decided, you know what, I'm just going to start kicking bombs. And, you know, that's what he did. So now he's the punt god because he can kick it really far. So if he can take it a step further, and learn from some people, get better in the league, and work on his accuracy, then this might be a Hall of Fame punter. Who knows?
I mean, he's going to have all the time because I just don't see the Bills punting very often.
You see his Twitter bio? Bills fourth quarter QB or fourth down fourth down QB. All power, zero accuracy. He's the Jamarcus Russell of kickers. There you go.
That's okay.
The perfect example.
Put it down there. That's all that matters. Because I don't, Matt Hawk couldn't even get it 20 yards sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
but all right, we got the punt got out of the way. Who else?
I liked Terrell Bernard, linebacker out of Baylor. That's a depth kind of pick there. Hopefully, it replaces who'd we get rid of? AJ Klein. We got rid of him. So. I think that's a good pickup there. I really like the James Cook draft in the second round. I think he's a more physical / shifty version of J.D. McKissick.
You guys should probably trade for a guy like J.D. McKissick. That would help. That would help
the team a lot. I hope J.D. McKissick breaks his or tears his ACLs this year. And, Maybe Washington you know, just gets destroyed as an organization and have to find a
0-17
a new town or something, or a new home.
Get
new
kicked owner. Out of Washington. All because they didn't trade J.D. McKissick to the Bills. This is what you get.
And it wasn't the corner I initially thought for the Bills in the first round, but I like it. Kair Elam out of Florida. I like him better as a number two, being that corner across from Trey White. He's much more physical than Andrew Booth was. And I really liked his attitude. You know, he wanted the playbook on the way to Buffalo from the draft, and, you know, and obviously they got it to him there. And, you know, just, I saw one of his interviews at the combine, and, you know, he brought up his playbook with all the notes that he had in there of, you know, players that beat him and what they did, and, or plays that, you know, that he liked, or things that he saw on tape and things that he wanted to add to his own game. And I like that. I like that in a player, and I think he's going to come in and, you know, I think he's going to be able to learn from Trey White, and I think it's going to be one heck of a secondary.
You already got two great safeties. If this kid really does develop into something special, you already got Trey locked down with that contract.
Yep.
Yeah, that secondary could be really good. Like top two. I don't even know who beats him. Honestly, might be the best in the league.
Right.
Off topic, did you see the interview talking with T.O. about taking Viagra? Was it T.O. or was that Chad Johnson?
I mean, that was...
I thought that was a Chad Johnson thing.
That was someone, like, months ago that on, like, ESPN. What was Bart Scott?
Oh. You're talking about people used to take it before games to stay warm?
Yeah.
Because that, like, increased your blood flow?
Right.
Yeah, I remember but that.
I didn't hear about this with T.O., like, just in general, just taking it before games?
Yeah, because I remember... Because I thought it was Ocho Cinco said he used to take Viagra before games because they're not going to be able to stop me like running on three legs or something like that. But maybe that was T.O. I'm not sure. Fill me in, Horny. Oh, Chad Johnson told T.O. to do it. Okay. Yeah, there you go. I remember him talking about that. The Seabirds. Here we go. He'll beat me. All right. So John Suggs is going to help me out with my birds.
Yeah.
Cross was a nice pick, but I was more impressed with the second pick in Mafe, National Defensive Player of the Game in the Senior Bowl, and was a beast all year. Was it Mafe? Is it Meef? Is it Mafe? Did I say his name right? Mafe?
Yeah.
I don't know how to say his name. I don't care. Like, everyone was freaking out. Like, all at least Seahawks Twitter was freaking out because they're like, oh my God. Boye Mafi or whatever, he's like 24 years old. Like, the average age of these people in the draft was 23. Yeah. He's a year older than the average. Like, let's calm down with you. Like, if he's 24, he's an edge rusher. It's not like he's like getting beat up. It's not like he's a 24-year-old running back.
Right.
Like a 24-year-old offensive lineman. He's a 24-year-old edge rusher. Like, you can do that forever. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
It's not that big a deal. So yeah, let's talk about that real quick. Charles Cross. Yeah, I thought it was a good pick. This showed me that with them not trading back, they just sat in their spot and they went with the initial pick like that. Even you thought they were taken. They didn't do anything stupid. They didn't reach for the first time ever. They didn't reach. They just said, we're taking the guy. We're taking Cross. We're trusting everyone across the country that this is the right guy.
Right. And
they did it. Mafe was good. Running back Kenneth Walker in the second round. I don't know. I mean, I think John says it right here. If Chris Carson doesn't return, I could see Walker being rookie of the year. I mean, I think it took me a while to come around to them drafting Kenneth Walker.
Mm-hmm.
He was obviously a very talented running back, probably the best, maybe the best in the draft. I don't know. I'm just saying maybe the best in the draft because that's what people are telling me.
Right.
I didn't really look at running backs because I didn't think Seattle was going to be ballsy enough to draft one after the Rashad Penny stunt.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that Chris Carson is, in fact, coming off of a neck injury, his career might be over. Who knows? Mm-hmm. It's so up in the air with Chris Carson right now. Rashad Penny had a stretch of like five good games, but he could easily go back to being injured all the time and being garbage, like what we're used to seeing.
Right.
So if Walker comes in here and he's a 1-2 punch with Penny, I just like what happens though? What if Chris Carson comes back fully healthy? What if Rashad Penny goes back to being or is like keeps his streak going of being like a great running back? He's rushing for like 100 yards and two touchdowns. Mm. Like, it's too full of a room now because then you got Travis Homer, you got DJ Dallas. You have there's no shit. There's like seven running backs on this roster right now that like are like active game day running backs. And like, what do you gonna do? It's just not a position you needed.
I mean, it's not good for fantasy, but it keeps all your guys fresh.
Like, what are you gonna run a bullpen out there? Like, this is what I put
you
on.
Could.
This is what I put on Facebook. I was just like, you know what? The reason they didn't draft a quarterback, they're not going to use one. They're going to put 10 guys on the line. This is why they also have like 16 tight ends on the roster. They're going to have their 5-man offensive line. They're going to put like all five of their tight ends in there, and then they're just going to put in whatever running back they feel like playing that down. And he's going to take a direct snap, and they're just going to run every play. This is the roster they've built. Because if you keep going, they got Abraham Lucas, offensive tackle on Washington State. That dude's huge. That dude's a big man.
Yeah.
And so they just kept building offensive line. This is like the only thing they care about.
Yeah.
And then you get to this weird point in the seventh round. They were like, yeah, let's go and get a Division II wide receiver and Derek Young and then Bo Melton out of Rutgers. I mean, I do love, I know John just put it in there, the Cody Bryant and Tariq Wilson picks, the two corners that they got in the fourth and fifth round.
Yeah.
Big fan of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
One of them won an award for being like one of the best defenders. Like, I think that was the Tariq Woolen pick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's great depth in the secondary. Like, this is why I think Seattle had a really good draft.
Right. They were all over the board, I think, for a lot of different positions.
I think with exception to the running back pick.
Yeah.
Because this is how I address it. We already talked about it. This is how I address drafts is you address your needs.
Yep.
And they 100% address their needs with almost every pick.
Yeah.
Would I have preferred they take a defensive tackle instead of maybe one of these wide receivers in the seventh round? Maybe. Probably.
Yeah.
Because you get two edge rushers because their last pick there, they got edge Tyreek Smith from Ohio State. I don't know much about this kid. I didn't really look into it that much. But they got their edge rushers now. But you have a lot of expensive guys in the middle of your defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
Like Seattle's, I think that's where the bulk of their cap space is right now.
Right.
Is in their interior of their defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of depressing. Like, that's where you're spending most of your money. So I would have preferred they got, like, someone, just anyone, really, just try and develop something. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you needed two wide receivers in the seventh round. Like, I think you would have been okay with one.
Yeah.
Because got D. Eskridge. You got Lockett. You got DK.
Yep.
There's a couple other guys back there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was generally a need. I feel like they just kind of got bored and they're like, yeah, sure. Well, who's that kid out of Lenore Ryan? Yeah, that one. Yeah. And that's my opinion overall. I'm honestly like, I was pretty surprised. I was happy with their draft. I'm just going to have to sit and wait and see how this Kenneth Walker thing pans out. Maybe they look like geniuses at the end of the day. Maybe they dump Chris Carson somewhere and they get rid of $10 million off their cap space. That's what I kind of expect them to do.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't, and maybe they just go into the season with every single running back on the roster, all seven of them. Oh my God. But oh, I mean, it was a fun draft weekend, though. I thought it was a good time. I, once again, I didn't really watch day three, but I watch rounds one through four. I usually pay a bunch of attention to.
Right.
It was fun. A lot of trades. Whoever announced that Vikings pick, he's the MVP of the weekend. Remember that guy?
I don't remember that one.
You don't remember that guy?
Is that the one that they told him to hurry up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really think of it much when it was happening.
Right.
Like, because I was watching on my phone, like me and Caitlin, I mean, the wife were just like on the couch just watching something. I was listening to my phone. And this guy gets up there and he just starts talking. So I'm like, all right, I just kind of put the phone to my side and I like watch whatever's on the TV real quick. But then like a while goes by. And I can still hear this guy's voice coming from my phone. So I look back at my phone. I'm like, this guy's still talking.
Yeah.
And like, what's he talking about? He's like talking about himself and like his career. Like, what is this guy doing? And then I saw the person run out and tell him to hurry up. And then he's just like, no, I'm not going to read the pick. And like, what is happening? And then I get on Twitter and everybody is talking about it. Like,
right.
Like, what a clown. And then you got all these salty Viking boomer fans that are like 80 years old. Like, you show some respect to this guy. He can talk as much as he wants. Like, I don't even know who he is. 90% of the NFL fan base doesn't know who this guy is.
Right.
Shut up and make the pick. Yep. like, gosh dang, what are you doing?
Well, apparently it like had like it made the people that running the draft show, like running the show behind the scenes, nervous.
Oh, yeah.
For all the guys, all the other like guests. You know, people doing the selections because, like, because Kyle Brandt had done it for the Bills, and he was like a couple picks after him, and they were like telling him, like, just read the card, because they were
behind. All behind now. Because yeah. Like, especially in those late rounds, these picks are going. Like,
oh yeah,
you're already like three picks ready to go.
Yep.
Like, if you sit up there and just talk, like now you're like six picks deep. Like. Mm-hmm. You just got to keep it moving. Like in the first round, yeah, we got some time to kill. But, you know,
right.
Third, fourth, fifth, like all that, you just read the damn card and let's get going, bud. And so, yeah, good draft. I mean,
yeah.
That's all I really got. Yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I thought it was good to be. I'm excited to see what the beginning of the season holds.
When's a rookie training camp? Is that in a couple weeks here?
I think so, yeah.
Let's find out. Rookie training camp.
Rookie mini camp. It's usually like end of May.
Oh, God.
But then they have like mandatory mini camps in June.
Yeah, I just saw that. I was like, there's no way that's the right. There's no. I saw July 27th. I was like, no way.
No, that would be training camp.
Like, yeah.
That's full.
I typed in the wrong thing. OTAs begin May 23rd. And then May 25th through the 26th, May 23rd, June 2nd through the 3rd, June 6th through the 9th. And the mandatory mini camp is June 14th through the 16th.
Yeah.
So late May. May 23rd is the first time we're going to see our rookies play with a football.
There you go.
So we got a date. You know, things are picking up.
They are.
Things are kind of picking up for the NFL. You know, we're going to get some teams back in the building.
Yeah.
Do some stuff.
Going to get some schedules.
So fun. Yeah, it's on my birthday. They release the schedule.
Yeah. So we find out tomorrow who plays the international games. God. Besides the five teams that had already been told.
I mean, the Jags are already going to be... Aren't the Jags already, like, London's home team?
Well, kind of, yeah. but, like, so the Bucs are playing in Germany. The Cardinals are playing in Mexico. Packers, Jags, and I want to say Colts are playing in London. But we find out who their opponents are.
Okay.
Tomorrow, yeah.
I think the Seahawks played in Mexico, I think, one time.
Yeah. I think the Bills have only played in London once.
That sucks. I don't like that.
That was a bad game.
I get what the NFL's doing with the international games. I can't tell if I like them or not.
As far as I've heard, they're doing really well now with London.
Yeah, they've built that for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
So teams, like the fans over there, are really starting to pick up on it. So, all right, so keep an eye out of that for tomorrow, May 12th, schedule release, mini camps end of May. Things are gearing up.
Oh yeah.
And for this show, we're probably going to start doing some division breakdowns.
Yep.
That's our favorite thing to do. Really, really pick apart these teams and these divisions.
Yep.
So if you want to come on the show and talk about your team,
yeah,
send us a DM.
Slide into those DMs.
Because we are Seahawks and Bills fans. If we're talking about the Chiefs, man, or like we're talking about some team we don't know. If you're a Colts fan, like how are the Colts feeling these days? Because right? I don't know. Like what's the feeling inside the building?
We're looking for 30 other fans.
Yeah. So tell your friends, tell your family, tell yourself. Slide into our those DMs and let us know so we can get some feeling from around the leagues.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go watch some NHL playoff hockey, baby. We're Durf and Dylan from On and Off the Field, and we'll be back next week.
On and Off the Field.